Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
New York, the glitz, the glamour, the exciting Mutt-tropolis, the sparkling kitty city that never sleeps. Step onto the sexy streets of animal attraction that is New York City. Welcome to Pets in the City, Life in the Urban Jungle. Join host Diane West as she explores the exciting lives, loves, and laments of the people and pets in the world's greatest city. Pets in the City, like the city itself, has something for everyone. Celebrity pet sightings, pet events, and news and reviews with the hottest movers, shakers, and tail waggers in New York. So get ready to get dressed to the canines and take a bite out of the Big Apple with your Pets in the City host, Diane West.
Hello, all you cyber cats, kittens, canines, and creatures under all creation. This is Diane West coming at you from the greatest city in the world, New York City, with another episode of Pets in the City on Pet Life Radio. Today we're going to be talking with one of the more controversial and colorful contestants that appeared on Greatest American Dog this summer, which was a reality show that pitted 12 contestants and their dogs against each other for the title of Greatest American Dog. But was it really that great on the set? Hold on, and we'll be right back and let you know some more about that.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Okay, all you yuppie puppies and city kitties, Pets in the City is back with more urban animals and cool cosmopolitan critters. Try saying that three times fast. Right, Diane?
Greatest American Dog, for you guys that may not be familiar, was a reality show that appeared on CBS this past summer, started in July and ended in September. The intention was to put 12 pairs of dog and human teams against each other in a friendly way, competing in terms of how well they can train their dogs to perform different tasks. For 10 weeks, the task got increasingly more difficult. One of the contestants, Beth Joy Knutson, who made it through until episode 7, became one of the contestants that you either loved or didn't love. She's a very expressive person, and we actually sat down and spoke with her. Now, just for total disclosure, I do know Beth personally. She actually works with us on New York Tales magazine, which is separate from Pet Life Radio, my magazine, New York Tales, here in New York. So I'm just letting you guys know that, you know, so you can listen to that in lieu of the interview I've done with her. But she did give her insights, and again, these are her opinions, and it was very interesting to me and a little bit sad, but listen in and see for yourself what happened here on this reality show that integrated dogs and their owners with each other. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your experience on Greatest American Dog?
That's a very open-ended question, but I will say it like this. For the experience that we are now internationally recognized for Bella Starlet, Dog's Sake is amazing because she's an incredible dog. So for that, I'd give it an 8. But for the general experience and being living the experience, I'd give it a 6.
Six. That's it. That's, as my Aunt Anna would say, mezza mezza.
Well, you know, to me, I was there to be in this wonderful competition with my dog and to experience all these things and to go to California and let her swim every day and do all these fun things. And, you know, people, when there's $250,000 involved, people become kind of, they show their hidden agendas, they kind of show their deviant side, and kind of scared me. I mean, I would do anything in the world to protect my dog, and I was having a good time, but there were a lot of things that happened that I was not too pleased with, and you know, I just love my dog.
To follow along that line of thought, I know one of the big controversies that happened with you was the art contest where, you know, you very creatively put some, I guess, cut out sponges on Bella's paws, and then she walked around, and I think she might have winced a little bit or something. And then after that, Laura pretty much called you out. And that was a scene.
Yeah, that was a scene. And if you recall, before she even so-called called me out, I had explained to the judges already, because we were up first, and I told them that Bella has a thing with her paws, even though, you know, you go to touch them, she'll just make the noise because she associates it with something from her past, so it doesn't really hurt her, she just makes the noise. But yeah, you know, gosh, I don't know where to begin with that. It's funny because I was just at our vet's office today, and I was telling Kyoko, we were talking about the show, and she was just like, she was so upset because she just had just watched the episode that happened. She was like, I was so mad that that girl did that to you. Because
Dr. Kyoko is Dr. Yoshida, right?
Yes, Dr. Yoshida from Tribeca, Soho. And she was just very upset because she knows Bella, and she just knows that, gosh, that's like the, she knows me, and she says the last thing I would do is hurt my dog. And she was so happy that I, you know, told that girl off. I'm like, yeah, but you missed what they edited out. I went all New York on her.
So what did we miss? Go ahead.
Well, you missed some cursing. And, you know, she was very phony, you know, she was very unprofessional and very disrespectful to cast and crew, you know, notoriously late, more busy putting on her makeup than concerned about her dog, but then complained that her dog wasn't getting enough sleep or something like that, and then took 3 hours personal time for her nap and made everybody else wait one day for filming. And she was worried about dog's welfare. No, she wasn't. She was worried about herself. And I kind of feel bad for Preston.
And I think you make an important point. I mean, you know, with all reality, and I put that in quotes, television, you're not quite sure what's real, what's fake, how they set you up to even fight with each other. I've heard things like that. So you and Laura had an infamous run-in. I know you weren't too happy when there was, I think the show was still on, and there was a news article down in Virginia where I think it was Laura and Laurie, and I'm sorry, I forgot the other one, Teresa, who said unilaterally, Beth Joy, had the least respect for people in the house, blah, 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 blah. I remember you being upset about that.
Well, not only was I upset about that, my publicist, Kevin, was absolutely livid, sent an email to the so-called journalist who put that together. That was an all-out slam fest. You know, I was so respectful of people in the house. They're jealous, hateful people, and
that's pretty strong words, Beth.
But that's the truth, and I'm saying that because I'm a person who believes in complete just love of your animal, and stop throwing people under the bus for this and that. You know, we did our best in the competition. You know, they have issues because they're just bitter. It's sour grapes. They didn't win. They're pissed off. They don't even talk to Travis or whatever. Like, poor Travis.
I was actually wondering what happened to Travis. And I was expecting this whole media onslaught with endorsement deals and whatever, and I haven't seen him.
No, the show's ratings were so bad. I mean, it's sad because the show should have been more about the dogs and about the drama.
It came out of the gate pretty strong, and then unfortunately
Yeah, that's sad because, but the thing is, you know, honestly, you know,
we had the Olympics and everything else.
Yeah, well, that's true. But, you know, with Travis and everything, I mean, we were so close during the show and after the show started, it was on, and then I haven't heard back from him in weeks and months. It's kind of disenchanting because we were so close, and you know, at the filming of the last day, you know, nobody would talk to him after he won. Like, a lot of people didn't talk. I talked to him and Brandy talked to him because, you know, we were friends with him, but people were so bitter about it. And it's like, okay, you didn't win. Big deal, you know? You got this amazing recognition to be on this show, you know, accept it for what it is. I guess I'm very enlightened and I just view things as glass half full. And I guess I'm so happy we get to be a part of it. And Bella's Starlet Dog, I mean, she is so happy. She, like, every time the show's on, she, like, sits in her bed and she watches it. She knows she's on TV. And, you know, we appreciate everything in life. I appreciate what everything has given to me, and I'm just very positive and upbeat.
Now, looking at some of the clips now, that, I mean, because it must be kind of surreal, because you didn't see the show while you were there, and then you came home and you saw the show on the television.
That is funny, because her fans come up to me, and they give me big hugs, they give her big hugs, and we were just in Chicago at the Bakker show, and people were just coming up like they know you. They're like, we love you, and it's really cool, and it's really weird. It's like, you know me, but you don't know me.
Actually, you were at the Bakker show for a jewelry line, correct?
We're signing autographs for Puppy Paws jewelry. Bella has her own jewelry line coming out. But with regards to the show, I always tell people we lived one experience, and when you watch it on TV, we're like, who are those people? Because I don't remember. I mean, I remember that, but that didn't go with that scene and that episode. I mean, I understand. It's a TV show. They're making characters. I get it. I'm not that clumsy, first of all. I'm very, and I'm emotional about my dog. I'm a real person. Yeah. So, you know, people come up to me. We're just in an event at Animal Haven, and they're like, I loved it because you were the only real person on the show. You really love your dog, and you showed how everybody, you know, didn't, you know, was there for maybe another reason, but you were there because you love your dog and you will stand up for her no matter what. And that, they were so happy to watch it. And they told people at work, they're like, I know that girl and I'm proud to know that girl and her dog.
Now, Beth, now you and I, again, like I said, we've known each other for a while, and we don't always agree on things because our personalities are very different, but I love you to death. But I gotta tell you, there were times when I said, all right, Beth, you're getting a little nuts here, okay? You were crying, oh, you know, I dressed my dog, and you were very defensive. And I said to Bill, I said, if anyone says anything about that dog or she's not doing something right to that dog, Beth is going to lose it.
Yeah, well, you know how I am with my animals. I mean, first,
was it too much?
No, it wasn't too much. What I'm saying to you is, remember, it's editing. So when I was, that episode where, Bon Appetit, you know Wendy Diamond and I know each other, and we don't like each other, and, you know, they knew that, and they wanted to probably start a little friction, which they were successful at, because the reason I started crying initially on that episode was because Victoria had said something to me about, you know, what?
Victoria Stillwell, the trainer, right?
Victoria, the judge, the trainer, and she said, you know, why are you praising her every second as you're walking around doing the heel? And mind you, she had said to Travis, oh, I love how you baby talk him. I was doing the same thing to Bella. I was just like, I love you. You're so good. Good job. I was so happy.
Okay, can I tell you something? Again, I said to Bill, I said, does it look to you like, I'm sorry, Wendy, you're probably going to hear this, and Victoria, but it looked like you guys were a little bit smitten by Travis.
Well, that I think we'll get on to it later in the interview. But what I want to say is, this is very serious, because I was very, very, I'm very proud of Bella Starlet. You know personally, Bella had hip surgery, had no use of her left leg a few months before this competition. We did massive, extensive therapy for her. So the fact that she did this heel so perfectly, and I was so happy about that. And then Victoria called me out on, like, baby talking. Well, I'm proud of her. And I just was emotional just thinking about all the work we had done just getting her ready for this competition. So that got me off. And then I was explaining about clothing, like, that she, you know, she dresses up for red carpet events. Yeah, she likes it. She wags her tail. She has fun with it. If my dog hated it, I would never put her in an outfit. My cats like to get dressed up, too. Everybody likes to dress up.
I don't know about that.
Wears a dress. She wears a cow print dress. It's nice.
I haven't seen that. I tried putting a kerchief on Fish, and she just sat there until I took it off. So I don't know.
Well, I don't know. My animals like to wear outfits, and you know what? It's fine.
Well, what was weird is, and a lot of people said this, you know, both privately and on the message boards, that you know, Wendy in particular was saying something about you dressing up dogs, and then within days, didn't she have like this big annual Paws Style event where that's the point?
Exactly. She has this Paws for Style event, and she's invited us. We've walked the carpet for her years ago, and it's very, I was like, are you serious? Like, all the things they didn't show me saying to her was, like, you and I know each other. You and I both dress our dogs. They both go to the same events. I mean, it's crazy. Like, you dress your dog. I've seen that dog in fur. So, you know, it's just very odd to me. I mean, it's just, wow, you talk out of both sides of your face kind of thing, you know. But, yeah, so I was very shocked by that. And, you know, you have to remember, you know, and you have Alan Resnick sitting there. I'm not a fan of dressing up dogs or this and that. I'm like, you work for Dog Fancy, and, you know, you have to remember it's a $43 billion a year industry, and probably a quarter of that goes to functional clothing for dogs. Are your advertisers going to be happy with you saying that? I think not.
That's a very interesting point, yeah.
I was just, you know, I mean...
Honestly, he looked like he wanted to get that show done with and get out of there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny because I just, you know, I was just at the Bacher show, and more than half the booths were dog clothing.
I would imagine. And that's right before the big Christmas show.
Yeah, yeah. So they were very excited, and they gave Bella tons of clothing, and they're just like, I'm so proud of you, like, standing up to them about that. So
now, I want to ask you a little bit about, again, your opinion... as a dog owner, about the general safety of the animals on the set. I mean, one thing that I think disturbed a lot of people, and again, I'm just checking out from some research, is when they brought the elephant on. Now, I love elephants. Elephants are great. You know, they're beautiful creatures, but I got to tell you, especially with the second time when they brought that elephant on and I saw the little Andrew run right under the foot, I mean, even if the elephant wasn't acting maliciously, something could have went wrong very badly.
I will say this, first of all, the Humane Society was all over that when the episode aired. Our agent told us that, and it's very scary to me, and I will tell you this, I'm so glad we were off in episode 7 after that, because I would have walked off the show if they said, hi, you have to have your dog sit when a 6,000-pound elephant is charging. And you can imagine how many takes they must have had to do. It's, you know, when you see something on television, it's only minutes, but it takes hours to do. The heat that day could have not made the elephant crazy. I mean, it got very hot in the valley in the afternoon. Morning, it was cold, but yeah, it was... I was appalled when I saw, like, they, I mean, Bella, let me tell you, Bella would have sat perfectly with, like, just like Andrew, because Bella could care less. She's like, I don't know, elephant, who cares?
But then they put the thing, like, their toy underneath the freaking elephant. I was like, what?
That's crazy. I'm sorry. And the harness thing, too, with Bella just having the hip surgery, I wouldn't have done it. So I'm glad we were off in episode 7, and I think that, you know.
But you are, the Humane Society, you're saying, kind of raised their arm.
They were all over that. And you know, it's funny, because American Humane was on the set at times, and I don't know why certain things were allowed and some things were. I mean, a 6,000-pound elephant can trip and fall in a second. I don't care how well trained it is. Just like any dog, dogs can be like, any dog will have its day and say, I'm going to pull the dog cart and I want to just go run off. You know, it's scary to me. It's scary to me. And I was talking to Ron and Tillman's Bella's boyfriend. And so I was talking to him about that. And he's like, yeah, I would have totally walked off too, dude. So, it's yeah, Bella and Tillman, I made up a cheer. T-I-L-L-M-A-N is Bella's starlet dog's boyfriend. And I was like trying to get them married on
Tillman,
the
of course, being the bulldog, right?
I was trying to get them married on the show. I was like, they love each other. And they run on Malibu Dog Beach together. It's so cute. But
I think everyone loved Tillman.
He's a great guy, and Tillman's a great dog, and Bella is ready to settle down. And
now, how much, another thing, just in terms of the welfare of the dogs, I guess this is a two-part question. If it was so stressful in that house, and it sounds like it was, do you feel that the dogs were picking up that stressful energy from their owners, from everyone else? And my second part of that question is, does that make you think twice about animals being on reality television at all?
Yeah, the stress in the house, it was more felt when we went to the actual Best in Show Arena green room. And I remember talking to, I think, JD about this, how the dogs just, like, totally and become just very... like in their own world when we're in this, because they sense us going through all this. And when people on purpose make drama like Laura, and Lori, you know, it was not beneficial. And, you know, getting each other upset and doing this, I mean, to me, it was all about the dogs. And, yeah, I mean, it was a great concept from the beginning, and it started out to be this great thing, but then it just went askew, and it just became just too much all around. And, you know, the health and safety of the dogs is the most important. And I mean, I got to tell you, Bella was having a great time, and she loves California. And every time we go on an airplane, she thinks we're going there. The pilot just recognized her on the plane going to Chicago.
He told me he got his camera.
He got his camera. He took a picture and he called his wife. He's like, you're not going to believe who's on the plane.
But now, having seen this experience and knowing, unfortunately, that, let me just say, a number of you are not even on speaking terms with each other, do you think it's worth it to have these kind of reality shows with pets? I mean, I know there's a few coming down the pike on Animal Planet and what have you, but do you think it's just too much stress that the dog, cat, whatever, doesn't know what's going on?
You know, when you're dealing with, well, obviously, let me state it this way, the 12 dogs that were on the show are incredible. I mean, beyond, I mean, they're just incredible creatures, they're brilliant creatures, and so, obviously, they had to be put through tests to be on the show in the first place, most of them. I don't know some about some other ones that were on, but certain dogs, I mean, you know Bella, she does 16-hour days sometimes on sets. She's used to things like this, you know. Sometimes she gets her own honey wagon trailer, but, yeah.
She does.
Yeah, she does. So, I'm just, but, yeah, it depends on the format. Let me just put it that way, because I know there are some new shows coming out, and the formats are a little different. This was just very, it was a new thing. I think it was handled great in certain aspects, and then other aspects it was not.
Okay, fair enough. Now, and again, just let us know what life has been like for you post-Greatest American Dog, what you've been doing with yourself, you and Bella.
Well, we have been walking some red carpet events. I just did a fashion show for Fashion Week, and we have, obviously, Bella's Halloween float is coming up, Totally Possum 80s. Bella has some endorsement deals and some of her own stuff coming out. She has a jewelry line coming out and some toys and some shampoo and stuff like that. And some other surprise TV stuff in the works. And yeah, we're just enjoying it. I mean, we really appreciate people's recognition of who we are and what we do. And you know, we've been doing this for 10 plus years in New York City. And we have the Rescue Inc. event tomorrow night. And that's, these guys, you know, go around, dedicate their time and go around to, you know, the motorcycle dudes and bodyguards and tattoo artists. And they go around and break up things like Michael Vick kind of dog fights and dog rings. And they go over the tri-state area, and it's going to become more national. And they're having a benefit tomorrow night at Chateau La Mer in Long Island. And, yeah, you can check it out, rescueinc.org. And I think what they do is incredible. And we're really trying to raise a lot of money because they put their own money out and time and effort. As you and I both know, we do that ourselves. I mean, sometimes we can't pay the rent, but we'll put the money out for our animals because that's who we are, and we'll rescue people.
Yeah, there's a word for that.
Craziness.
But just to elaborate a little bit more on the Halloween float so people know if they want to join in there also.
Yeah, so Bella's Halloween float, this is a third year running. She's the official float animal float for the Village Halloween Parade, deemed by Jean Fleming, the director. And this year's theme is Totally Possum 80s. So everybody come walk alongside us. It starts at 5:30 Spring Street and 6th Avenue. And we're going to have a little pre-party. And just come in your best 80s costume. And we're going to have some celebrities on the float, and it's going to be really cool. And the most important thing is raising awareness for animal advocacy and adoption. And you know, we have 2 million people who watch the parade, and millions more watching live on New York One.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because one of the things I help Beth and Bella with is rounding up the Mayor's Alliance folks. So they're going to, what's good about that is that they get to carry their banner, and like you said, it's an extraordinarily well televised event, so they at least get some pretty much almost guaranteed time, because as you said, Jean has been very supportive of the float, and it's usually what? I think you guys are right behind Kiss last year, weren't we?
Yeah, the first year we did it, we opened for Kiss. That was pretty cool. Yeah, we opened for them. We were in front of them.
Oh, wait, did we open for them?
We were the first float out. We opened for Kiss.
Wow.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. You were just more mesmerized by Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley.
I must have been. I don't know, man.
Gene actually fell off his float.
I saw that. Well, you know why? Because did you see how tall the... I didn't realize how tall those shoes are until you actually see them.
I know. I was just like, I didn't want to laugh, but I wanted to be like, are you okay? But you're Gene Simmons, so you're always okay, right?
Yeah, no, that's rock and roll.
I know. I saw him at the CBS Early Show when we did that for Greatest American Dog, and it was just so cool to see him again. It was just so weird. It's so random how we always keep interacting again. So,
so again, the float will be on October 31st. That's the famous Greenwich Village 30 years, I think, now?
35. This is the 35th year.
And Beth Joy and Bella Starlet have a float with their sponsors. It's Street Treats and Westside Veterinary.
It's Street Treats and WestVillageVets.com.
WestVillageVets.com, excuse me. And around 5:30 or so, everyone gets together near the float at Spring and Sixth, right at the sea and the E stop right there, right?
Yes.
At Spring?
Yes, right there, yeah.
And we're going to try and put together a little pre Halloweeny type of thing. Use your judgment, right, if you're going to bring animals or not.
Make sure they're good with loud noises, and if they're small, bring a pet stroller. It's 24 blocks that we're walking, and you know, for all updates, just go to bellastarladog.com if there's any like new things coming up. We're going to be at the Times Square Alliance event on Sunday. Yeah, and you know, Courtney, our assistant, our et cetera girl, she's awesome, is going to be handing out flyers and taking photos and doing videos. So, yeah, it's going to be great. And Bella is nominated for a Dog Academy Award again this year, and which is so cool. And one of her fans, I gave her this idea of what I wanted the video to be, and she put it together, and it's incredible. And so we submitted it a while back.
There you go. Beth Joy and Bella Starlet not letting the grass grow under their feet after Greatest American Dog. And again, a little bit more detail behind the scenes of what actually happens on at least this reality show. And we will be talking with Beth again at some point.
Thank you for having me. Possum.
Possum. Well, what did I tell you? Very colorful and expressive character that Beth Joy Knutson is. And again, these are the opinions of Beth Joy Knutson, who was a contestant on Greatest American Dog, as we said. Obviously, there's 12 people that were on the show, so you'll probably get different insights from each of them. And actually, if you really want to listen to what some of their takes were, go over to my esteemed colleague Arden Moore's show, Oh Behave, which is also on Pet Life Radio, where she did interview most of the contestants right after they had been not voted off the show, but shall we say, lost the challenge and were escorted off the show. So go ahead and listen to that, and maybe you'll get more of a 360. I did actually double-check some of Beth's observations in terms of her concerns with some of the elements of the show, especially the safety elements of the show having to do with the dogs. And I spoke with Karen Rosa, who is in charge of film and television production at American Humane. They are the ones that came up with the famous "No animals were harmed during the production of this film 61 years ago," and they still observe film and television actors when animals are involved. So I did speak with her. Listen for that next week, and she did give some interesting insights both on Greatest American Dog and the increasing number of shows, reality shows, that are integrating animals into the mix. Definitely listen in. It was very enlightening. We will be back in a second with something completely different. In this economy, which, let's say, really sucks, how much should you be spending on your pets? We'll be right back.
This is Helen Bay Parkbound, 6 local train.
All right, this is my stop, Commercial Boulevard. Yeah, that's funny. Pets in the City will be back in a New York minute. Don't go anywhere.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Okay, all you yuppie puppies and city kitties, Pets in the City is back with more urban animals and cool cosmopolitan critters. Try saying that three times fast. Right, Diane?
Well, as we've been saying, that there's no other way to say it. The economy really stinks right now, and that applies for most of us. Hopefully, most of us listening still have a roof over our head and food in our belly, and we're still able to keep ourselves in kibbles and bits and catnip. But there will be challenges. I'm today going to be speaking about that topic with Rachel Swan, who is head of Positive Productions and who will be holding an Enlightened Canine Expo this weekend coming up November 1st and 2nd in Westchester, New York, which is going to, you know, highlight a lot of these high-end products. And we are going to talk with Rachel about what she feels is the outlook for these products. Hello, Rachel.
Hello, thank you.
So, Rachel, what do you think about this economy?
Well, I agree with you. I think it pretty much sinks right now. I find myself every day glad that I have a dog that I can scratch behind the ears and let my blood pressure drop and let some of the stress roll away. But the bottom line is that everybody's kind of tightening their buckles right now and being a little more choosy about how they spend their money.
Now, tell us a little bit about the products that are going to be at your expo. I mean, some of them are really sound like the really cutting-edge ones in terms of eco-friendly, organic. Tell us a little bit about some of the highlights there.
Well, the emphasis of this show is really twofold. And the first category that we've really tried to address is to get products and services in that are cutting-edge, new, upscale types of products that you just don't see everywhere. The second category are items that are more natural, organic, wholesome, both for ourselves and our pets. An example of some of the things that we're featuring at the show along those lines are we have some holistic and alternative veterinarians that are going to be both exhibiting and speaking at the show. We have specialists in canine massage from both a sports and performance and health standpoint, as well as people that work with Reiki, T-Touch, and other types of energy-type work. These are all methods that are by no means new, but they are coming more to the forefront now.
Now, a lot of these things, I mean, again, a lot of, you know, arguably New York City pets are probably among the most pampered in the world, as well as Westchester, New York, which is a very affluent suburb of New York City. You know, some people might be looking at this and saying, look, I can barely, you know, afford the weekly grooming every week now because, I don't know, I get cut back on my hours at work, or I'm living back with mom and dad, what have you. What would you say to them in terms of these products? Are they worth the investment?
In many cases, they are, and use of the phrase investment is very justified. People sometimes talk about how feeding better dog foods or pursuing some of these alternative therapies are more expensive. And in the short run, they may be, although as they become more mainstream, they're also becoming more affordable. However, if you look at the long run, when you start taking a look at the animals that are being fed healthier diets and animals that are receiving more thorough, more well-rounded care, we find that there are less instances of poor health, of less need for serious surgeries, dental procedures, and so forth.
What you're speaking of is preventative care, like we should be doing for ourselves, brushing our teeth, flossing our teeth. That way we don't lose our teeth and have to go to the dentist. And, you know, it's the same thing for our dogs and cats, right?
There you go, precisely. And the better care, the better care we take of ourselves, hopefully the less problems we have down the road and the longer, more healthier, more enjoyable lives we have down the road. And the same is true with our pets.
And vet bills could get pretty expensive very quickly.
Oh, yes, they can.
Now, what about the health benefits to humans? I know there's always a lot of stories about health benefits to humans, and we were actually just talking about taking care of ourselves as well. People are very stressed right now. I mean, people are really upset. I mean, when every other news article you hear, or I mean, news article you read or television thing you hear is, oh, they're slashing jobs, they don't know where the stock market's going. It's a lot of stress. Is there some way that our animals can help us with that along the same lines of our self-care?
Absolutely. I think this is something that animal owners have known for years, probably for centuries, that having a good relationship and bonding with animals is good for people, not only emotionally and mentally, but also physically. Now there are more and more traditional scientific and medical studies being done that really back that up, back that common knowledge up. There have been correlations between having and interacting with pets and improved blood flow patterns in humans that have heart disease and heart failure. Pets visiting hospital patients see patients reporting less pain. Of course, the one that is most commonly referred to is the fact that interacting with an animal does lower blood pressure, which, of course, is one of the significant things that is affecting people right now as the stress levels rise.
We should bring a whole bunch of dogs down to Wall Street.
You know, not a bad idea. We do have some therapy dogs that are coming to the show to do some demonstrations. Perhaps instead of just focusing on hospitals and whatnot, maybe we ought to think about going down to Wall Street with them as well.
I bet you'd get, you know, you could bring like adoptive animals down there, right? And then the stockbrokers would pet them and they'd say, hey, wait a second, this is making me feel better.
Your 401k is still in the tank, but at least I feel better about it now.
Well, you know, I was reading on, I try to keep up on some of the dog boards here in New York. And, you know, they're very expressive, as you can imagine. And there was one person actually said, you know, is anyone else experiencing the phenomenon of, you know, walking down the street with your dog and more people than usual are actually stopping and petting and, you know, talking to you about your dog? They almost compared it to, you know, the post, you know, September 11th episode. You know, obviously, definitely different gravity there, but they said they were just feeling that a lot more people were stopping them to talk with their pets.
Well, I think that without a doubt, pets have always been a way for people to connect with strangers, and you know that doesn't surprise me. In this time that we're going through now, people are looking for a little bit of reassurance. You know, we can all use a little bit of warm fuzzy in our life right now. So I don't find that surprising at all. I think another thing to keep in mind is that animals, particularly dogs, are very intuitive and are very connected to our emotional states. I think a lot of us have had experiences where we've been upset or sad and our dogs have come over and, you know, seemingly wanting to comfort us or to at least keep us company and be near us. While we're experiencing the higher levels of stress, we probably should also be keeping an eye on our pets to see if, in exchange for them helping to calm us and soothe us, that we're not causing more stress in their lives as well. You know, it may be worth taking that extra trip to the dog park or, you know, spending a little bit more quality time with them. Animals are definitely noted for picking up on their humans' stress levels.
Now, for those dogs, and I mean, I know your expo is for dogs, but I will also throw in cats and birds and other animals we love. But for your expo with dogs, what would be a good treat for the dog that has been a therapeutic dog for us in a way? What extra special treat would be good for him or her?
There are two things that leap right to my mind. And the first is really quality time with their human in whatever form that takes. You know, I think it's important that we are active with our animals. It's good for us, it's good for them, rather than just sitting on the couch next to each other. So any sort of a toy or activity, you know, whether that be taking up obedience classes or doing agility or, you know, there's so many different activities that people can do with their dogs now. Anything that encourages that kind of interaction is great. On a more physical level, I think some of the treatments along the lines of canine massage are wonderful. I have seen firsthand animals from shelter situations that were highly stressed animals. After just a few minutes of quality canine massage, they have just softened, and you can almost feel the stress and the distress coming off of them. So many of the physical benefits of massage, some of the energy work that people enjoy doing with their animals, such as Reiki, which is one of the most popular ones among people as well as animals, can be very beneficial in terms of lowering stress levels for both the people and the animals.
Now, can people bring their pets to the expo or no?
No, people are being asked to leave their pets at home. There's a couple of reasons for that, but mostly we want to keep a very calm environment. And we do have some animals that are going to be there doing demonstrations. For example, I mentioned the therapy dogs that will be there. We also have some adoptable shelter dogs that are expected to be at the expo. So often these events are really quite stressful for a lot of dogs, and so the decision has been made to ask people to leave their animals at home.
But you could learn something there and take it back home with you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And it also makes it so it's easier for the people to really be able to concentrate and focus. The seminar programs that we have set up, we have all sorts of speakers and demonstrations going on throughout both days. It'll be a lot easier for the people to take in all that good information without the distraction of the animals there.
Okay, and Rachel, real quick, just give us a recap. It's the Enlightened Canine Expo. It's this coming weekend, November 1st and 2nd, right?
That's correct. Saturday, November 1st, the doors open at 10 a.m. and will be open all the way through 8 p.m. Sunday is from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tickets can be purchased at the door. Regular admission is $7. There is a $2 discount available for anyone that brings any dog food, treats, toys, or old used blankets for donation to the local shelters. And we look forward to seeing everyone there.
And that's at the Westchester County Center?
Yes, at the Westchester County Center at 198 Central Avenue in White Plains, New York. Really great, easy access from the trains if people want to come up from the city. There's lots of parking in the area. And any questions, they can look us up on the website at www.positiveproductions.com.
Okay, great. Well, there you have it. So listen, guys, if you want to do some de-stressing of your own or learn how you can possibly help your pets de-stress for this time, which is, I guess, being a little bit tumultuous on humans and pets alike, give it a shot this weekend. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you very much.
And that does it for this episode of Pets in the City on Pet Life Radio. Hope you enjoyed this one. Again, definitely listen in next week when we speak with American Humane and talk about this increasing trend of, let's call it a trend, adding animals to reality television. And I'm not just talking things such as Great American Dog, but maybe even training episodes or certain Animal Planet specials. Really interesting insights from American Humane. Definitely listen in. They have been Halloween parties, like I told you, up the wazoo. I myself had the pleasure of judging three of them this past month, and I wanted to thank Ada Nieves of the Chihuahua Group here in New York for letting me help judge the Chilloween contest, which was adorable. And Lynn Randolph of the New York City Pug Meetup Group, I helped judge that one as well, which was really hysterical. And yesterday was the Tompkins Square Halloween parade with, I believe, I'm not kidding, there must have been about 400 dogs. And some of the costumes people came up with were absolutely, they were mind-blowing. I mean, they were things that you wouldn't even think of. The final winner was actually two dogs. This pair had constructed a castle, and there was a little dachshund at the top wearing a long Rapunzel-like braid, and she was Rapunzel the dachshund, and below her was a nice, handsome dog dressed as a knight who was coming to rescue her. There was also a lot of Joe the Plumbers, a lot of Joe Six-Packs, several Obamas. I didn't see any McCains, but then again, as you know, we're a blue state, and also we were in New York City and in Greenwich Village, so probably not too many McCain supporters. There were a few Sarah Paulins, and I have a feeling there's going to be a very political vibe to this Halloween. Check out newyorktales.com and our calendar of events, and you will see the latest Halloween parties, and this is pretty much the last week for them, so don't put those costumes away yet. newyorktales.com. That's New York Tales website. Again, this is Pets in the City on Pet Life Radio. Thank you, Mark Winter, for letting us be on the air. Thank you to our sponsors for keeping us on the air. Hope you're enjoying our shows. Tune in next week for part two of Reality TV and Pets, a good match or a mismatch. Take care.
New York, the glitz, the glamour, the exciting Mutt-tropolis, the sparkling kitty city that never sleeps. Join us each week for Pets in the City with your host, Diane West. Celebrity pet sightings, hot events, and news and reviews with the hottest movers, shakers, and tail waggers in New York. So take a bite out of the Big Apple with Pets in the City every week on demand only on PetLifeRadio.com.